Want to again greet each one of you in Jesus' precious name. Before I get into the message, something I thought I'd announce. Some of you would know Steve and Joyce Bontrager that used to attend at Pilgrim. Joyce taught for, I don't know how many years that she taught there at Pilgrim. Joyce passed away last night. So for those of you who know them, I thought maybe it'd be good for you to know about that. Also, last Sunday, I think, was Adria's first time back here. Is that correct? And I'm not sure that we really gave her a good welcome. So welcome, Adria. Glad you're back again to be with us here. I was asking God, what do you want me to share this Sunday? And sometimes you wonder, God, why do you take us where you took us? And as I look at the picture of these Ukrainians that are being helped, again, it makes me question. I've titled my message this morning, Two Responsibilities. So I'd like for you this morning to turn your Bible to Acts chapter 1. This week, if you follow the news at all, you notice that there was a shooting at a school in Uvalde, Texas. A sad thing that we look at. A lot of loss. Families that have lost children. There's now empty beds in their houses. There's tennis shoes that are probably sitting there that will never be worn again. When they sit down to eat, there's going to be an empty spot at the table. People that are hurting because one man made a decision that was a wrong decision. We look across America today, we have broken homes. We've got people that are desiring relationship. They're desiring love. But because of the way the home is today, they're not finding it. Those are empty spots. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is in Ephesians. Colossians 3, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. This is not a Father's Day message. It's not a Mother's Day message. But I want to throw something in here this morning to fathers. Thank you, fathers, that are taking your place in the home. Thank you to those of you who are teaching your kids. By the way, it's not your wife's responsibility to teach the kids. Scripture talks about the father. Yes, the wife is to be there also. It's the father's responsibility to make sure that the kids, the children, are taught. Thank you for taking your place in the home. Thank you for loving your wives. I don't think there's a better gift you can give your kids than to love your wives. Your wife, I should say it that way. You have one. Thank you for loving her. This speaks volumes to your children. Mothers, you're busy every day. You're cooking, you're cleaning, you're packing lunches, you're doing whatever. Thank you for loving your kids, your children. Thank you for honoring your husband. They're watching. The children are watching. The first responsibility I'm going to look at this morning is the responsibility that we have as parents to be involved in our children's lives. Responsibility number one. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to state this morning, and I'm not sure if you'll agree with me or not, but I think you might. Our first responsibility as missionaries this morning is to our families. I don't care if you go across seas. I don't care where you go as a missionary. Your family is your number one responsibility. That's first. God has given you a responsibility as parents to teach and to train and to love your kids. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to read verse 4 through 9. says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now listen to verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. So when you're just together in the house, talk to them about Jesus. When thou walkest by the way, you're doing everyday life. Find ways, examples, ways that you can use examples of the life of Jesus, what he teaches in everyday life. When thou liest down, before you go to bed, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about that void that's in their heart that can only be filled by Jesus. And after they know him, continue to instruct about him before they lay down. The next one is when they get up, talk to him about Jesus. I don't see any spot in life that we are to turn our back on teaching Jesus to our children. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And as I looked at this, I thought it was interesting. This thing about binding them for a sign upon thine hand was actually taking some parchment and writing a verse or some kind of a scriptural thing on there from the Old Testament. And they would bind it around their wrist to take it with them to remember about Jesus. I find this interesting. It's easy for me, and probably for you, to look for ways to invest that brings a good return. It doesn't take long when you're sitting with somebody, they begin to talk about, I've invested here, I've invested there. Financially, we want to invest. So we get a good return. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Those are earthly returns. They're going to burn up. They're going to go to nothing. Am I investing in my children's lives? How much am I investing? Am I doing it with purpose? Investing in their lives? What is the return? For eternity. It's not going to burn up. That's forever. My wife and I do not want to go to eternity without our children going with us. And I think each one of you here is exactly the same way. We want to take our children with us. It is our responsibility to teach and to train them. And I'm going to throw something out here. It is not, and I'm not trying to cover for myself here, it is not the preacher's responsibility to make sure your kids go to heaven. We are to teach and train from up here, yes. But parents, it is your responsibility to teach your kids about the Lord. So they know who he is, so they accept him into their hearts, so they walk with him. Physically, we teach our kids, or we're not, we teach them, we take care of our kids. When the babies cry, what do? We feed them. We don't go very long when the babies cry. We want to make sure they're satisfied, so they're taken care of. We want them to grow physically, don't we? We see a baby that's skinny, that's not healthy, we check, is that baby fed? We don't want our kids to lay around and not be active physically. We want them to learn to be productive. We want our kids to have good diets. Maybe some of us parents, including myself, need to work on that one first. We want our kids to have good diets so they're healthy. We want them to succeed in academics. We send them to school. How about spiritually? We need to teach them spiritually how to grow, how to eat. That's something that has really, really been speaking to me the last while. We have here the Word of God. All of us here would agree this morning, this is where we're going to learn about salvation. This is where we're going to learn how to walk the Christian life in this book. and the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Am I taking this? Do I have a family altar where we spend time as a family? We sit there and we read the Word of God and we discuss. It's not just the dad throwing things out, but we allow our kids to ask questions. They ask some good questions. Moms and dads, be prepared. And if you don't know, be honest. Tell them, you know what, I'm not sure about that one. Let's dig into that one. Don't be fake with your kids. They see right through you. Be real. Take time at the family altar to share with your kids about Jesus and to teach them. Some things that are just everyday things, and maybe some of these relate more to the dad again than to the mom. But when your kids talk to you, listen. I got my phone up here. I've been reminded by my family. When somebody's talking to you, can you put your phone down? When your kids are talking to you, put this in your pocket. Get rid of it. Look them in the eye and listen to them. They're looking to see if you really care. That's a tough one today, isn't it? Because we're reading something, we really like what we're reading, we want to learn more, and the child starts talking, and we say, hang on, I'm reading something. Listen to your kids. Look them in the eye. Make time for them. It's easy for me to say, you know what, I've got something else I need to do. Make time for them. Dads with daughters, make sure your daughters know that you're their protector. If your daughter ever needs something, make sure she knows she can come to you. Nobody's going to touch her. Be her protector. Let her know you stand with her. Teach your sons to be gentlemen. I don't know how you feel about this one. But I'm looking around as I go through life today. The word gentleman doesn't come to mind quite often. There's filthy language. There's distrust. There's dishonor to parents and to those that they come in contact with. Teach your kids to be, your boys to be gentlemen. Our families are our first mission here on earth. And I'm speaking of this a lot because of what happened in Uvalde. And I'm not pointing fingers at this family, by no means. But we saw what happened. Your kids have choices to make. Help them in those choices. Responsibility number two is a little bit more for all of us. Not just a little bit more for all of us. It is for all of us as Christians. Responsibility number two is this. We have a responsibility as Christians to go. Go where? Acts chapter 1. I hope you're still there. Let's look here in verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, with the disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So he said, wait in Jerusalem. I'm leaving. Wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit as I promised to you. He tells them up there in verse 7 or verse 8. They start asking him questions. Let's back up a little bit. They start asking him questions. Are you going to set up a kingdom now? He said, that's not for you to know. But he said in verse 8, he says, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. And I think it was Dana that mentioned this, but I'm not sure. The word witnesses actually has the idea of being a martyr. You're going to be martyrs for my sake. There are things that you're going to get involved in that are not going to be pretty, but you're going to be witnesses for my sake. And today we think of witnesses as sharing. We're ambassadors for him. We share his love with those around us. Now we go on to verse 9. Jesus then is taken up into a cloud. He's received away. There's two men in white that come and say, look, He's coming back just like that. Why are you standing here? I love to think about that. Why are you standing here? Quit staring. Go do something. Let's get busy. So they did what he told them. They went to the upper room. They were together there in prayer. We go to verse 15. Then they replaced Judas with Matthew. And then we come to chapter 2 of Acts there. And now things are finally starting to come to pass. They're together. And all of a sudden there's a noise coming from heaven. The Holy Spirit comes down on them like a dove. Or not like a dove. That's another place, like flames of fire. Comes down on them. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it begins to explain all the different people that were there from different languages. And we get to verse 13. Some of them said they're full of new wine because of what they're saying. There's so much blabble going on because there were a whole bunch of different languages being talked here. And then Peter opens his mouth again, but there's a difference this time. Peter has the Holy Spirit. Peter starts to share with them. And he tells them all about what's happening here. No, he said, this isn't weird. This isn't drunken men. He said, Joel told you this is going to happen. Now we have prophecy being fulfilled. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Let's go on over to verse 21. Then Peter tells them, it's going to come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter is doing what he was told to do. He is going. No, he didn't leave the area, but he was going. He was sharing Jesus with those that were there. Let's look at the response. Peter was talking to a people that had, you remember what Marcus said this morning, uncircumcised ears? Let me ask you this morning, do we have uncircumcised ears this morning? Are we hearing what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us this morning? Are our ears open? Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter told them pretty plain, this is the one that you crucified. This is the one that you were against. He is now made Lord and Christ. And because they were listening, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their heart. I had to think, that's uncircumcised ears finally starting to maybe hear a little bit. The Spirit began to work in them. The word uncircumcised that Marcus was talking about this morning has the idea of impenitent. The word impenitent, let's break that down. That means not feeling shame or regret for one's actions. We see in verse 37, that's not how it is here. All of a sudden they're seeing there's something happening. There's something that we need. What is it? What shall I do? Verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, they had an opportunity here to turn their back and walk out. That's different than I know. But they listened to the Holy Spirit speaking to them, drawing them. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I think one of the things we often do is we try to draw the people to Christ. And hear me on this. We are to share his love with those around us. We are to go. Let's let the Holy Spirit do the drawing. Let's let the Holy Spirit do the drawing. Let's do what we need to do to share the word. And let's let the Holy Spirit do the drawing. Steve Stutzman said something that I just read this morning. And this ties in a little bit. Was it Marcus 2 that was talking about people hurting? Steve Stutzman was talking about people that are hurting. What do we do with this? And somebody came back and said, I'm hurting right now. There's things I'm going through right now. Here was Steve Stutzman's response. No, he didn't lay out scripture. But it said, lay on the floor before God and listen to some music about worship and listen to it until the Holy Spirit begins to move in your heart and come to a place where you can repent, where you can allow Him to fill you and then walk. Sometimes it takes in our own lives a time of just laying on the floor, weeping, asking God to fill us again, to remove what's there, to fill us with His love, give us another new vision. I don't know if you've been to that place or not. If you haven't, go there sometime. God will fill you. He'll direct you. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. Here we have an example, again, a story that I've used here many times that I just love. We have an example of Jesus, and I never caught this until this week, how Jesus was showing His disciples, this is how you do it. Never saw that before. I saw Jesus talking to the woman at the well to show her life. Here was Jesus and the disciples walking along. They came to Samaria. And Jesus was tired. It says He went up and He sat on the side of Jacob's well. The disciples went to town to get food. And let's pay attention here what Jesus does. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. What's Jesus doing? He's drawing her into a conversation. And I want us to think about this as we go share Jesus from day to day. Whether we're at work, whether we're specifically going to share Jesus on the streets or whatever we're doing, Jesus is drawing her into a conversation. One of the things that's easy for us to do is when we want to share with somebody, the first thing we do is we go and we point out their sin. And all of a sudden we put a wall there. How about if we go to them, we begin a conversation like Jesus did here. And we start talking to her. She starts asking questions. And as she asks questions, Jesus has more opportunity to lead into life. He's telling her, I have water. He connected with what she was doing. She was drawing water. So He told her, I have water, but it's living water. And of course, she's interested. Maybe it takes us a little bit of thinking sometimes to figure out how can I go in and share. There's a tip here. Pray every day that the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom to be able to share. Ask Him to show you how do I reach people and allow Him to put it into play. So Jesus is here talking to her. He begins to talk to her about water, living water. She's interested. She goes a little different direction for a bit. Jesus did not leave her sin untouched. That's not where He went. There was sin. He did not leave it untouched. But He was very cautious. And at one point then He says, go, call your husband. Come back here. Then she knew. When she said, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, that's right. You're not with your husband. You've had five. Then she knew that there was something here. She said, you're a prophet, aren't you? Then Jesus begins to lay out a little more of the plan of salvation and telling her about truth. What's the result? She took off for town. all excited. Come hear a man who told me everything I ever knew. The city comes back. Because of her words, many believed. But it says later on, then because of the words of Jesus, they came back and heard him. There were also many that believed. Now look at the disciples. Now they come back and they're trying to figure out, what in the world's going on, Jesus? Why are you talking to her? She's a Samaritan. Here, we brought you some food. Eat. And Jesus said, no, I have food to eat. You don't understand. Not at this point. Then he begins to talk about harvest and reaping. He said in verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labor and ye are entered into their labors. Jesus telling them, explaining to them a little bit about what just happened. And I think all of a sudden, the disciples are beginning to see. There's something else I want us to see here. We live in an area where we are driven. If you were to go back with me to Texas where my family's at, it doesn't matter if you get something done in a day or not. If there's somebody there you can talk to, you stop and you talk. I work in the trailer factory. We don't have time to stop and talk. Because if we stop and talk, the clock is ticking. And we're not working, we have an opportunity maybe to get fired. This is not just the trailer factor. This is all of us here. We live in a community that's driven. I want to challenge you. If the Spirit begins to speak to you, share. Stop. God wants you to get fired. That's okay. He'll take care of it. Stop and talk. There are those that need Jesus all around us. We live in a community here, and there's nothing wrong with how we live here as Calvary Chapel. We have a culture. But I'm going to challenge us this morning. Step out of the box. Scott, Sliss, you guys stepped out of the box, didn't you? I remember going up to Detroit with Scott, spending some time on the street there close to where they live, and praying and meeting with a realtor. Scott was stepping out of the box. I didn't know you're going to be here this morning. Thank you for letting me use you. They stepped outside. They stepped away from this group that we have here that's close. Because it's easy for us to come to church here Sundays. And throughout the week, we function just amongst us. Can I encourage you this morning, don't function just amongst us. There are so many people around us that need Jesus. Scott and Sliss are sharing Christ's love there in Detroit. Kenlin went to, I'm not even sure, where did Kenlin go? Haiti. It says go. But we're not called to go to another country. When you walk out those doors this morning, you are going. He doesn't say you have to go way over there. Go. Go share with a guy who brings you fertilizer. Go share with that truck driver that delivers something at work. Go. Right here. When you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, give them a smile. And if you have opportunity, share. But it's there for all of us to go. Turn to Revelation 22. I want to close. We're going to begin at verse 12. Jesus speaking here, he says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You and I understand a lot of that. We've received the water of life freely. Friends, let's not hang on to it this morning just for ourselves. Jesus died for everyone. John 3:16 says, whosoever will. Am I going to this week find somebody that I can share with and let them know this water is also for you? Would you do that this week? That's my challenge for you this morning. Begin in your families. Show them the love of Jesus. But take it out beyond there. Step out of the box. Get a little bit uncomfortable. The more you do, the easier it gets. And if you want to find that you have life, do that and you're going to find out what life is in Christ. I was challenged by a minister, trying to remember his name right now, Francis Chan. Francis Chan said, when I found out that I am really alive in Christ is when I began sharing Jesus. Before, I was inward focused a lot, is how he was speaking. I think I'm not sure exactly how he said it. But he said, when life began happening, really came alive for me, is when I began sharing Jesus. Let's go and share Jesus. Would you stand, please? Thank you, God, so much for loving us enough that you gave us an opportunity to be your children. And Father, as we think on this, and we realize what you did for us, give us a desire, give us a prompting, Lord, to share this with our families and to go to share it with those around us. Father, give us opportunity to be on our knees. Help us to find that opportunity to be on our knees or on our face flat before you, connecting with you, allowing you to fill us. Help us to take time. Lord, we're in such a hurry. Help us to take time to slow down and to realize the importance of connection. We love you so much. We ask that you would dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.